This morning, I was listening to Richmond's Morning News, and my friend Rich Herrera was hosting Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan, who I'm trying to think of the nicest, most charitable way to describe that, but it was unhinged. It was pretty much deranged. Just attack after attack after attack on ICE and President Trump and law enforcement. It's just crazy sort of stuff. Well, Congressman Rob Whitman, as you know, has represented, continues to represent in stellar fashion, the first district of our beloved Commonwealth. And that Chesterfield County Courthouse, I do believe, is in his district. And he probably has a thing or two to offer for the good of the order. Congressman Whitman, always good to have you here, sir.
Well, Jeff, it's great to be with you. Thanks again for the opportunity.
The pleasure is always mine. Well, give us your sense here. I mean, you've got ICE, as they have for a long time, at the courthouse checking things out. They do it at courthouses around America, but all of a sudden, Chesterfield County Courthouse seems to be politicized with this.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I want to make sure that we have a very thoughtful, rational discussion of the facts. So let's start with the facts. ICE is removing people who have deportation orders, or those that have criminal records, or those that have re-entered after being deported. No one was arrested for attending court. That's clear. And we know ICE was after those with removal orders. That's part of enforcing the law. At least one of those has been deported and re-entered the country illegally. I mean, we want to make sure we are a nation of laws and that we uphold the law. And we've seen that in other situations, people that re-enter the country are those that are prone to repeated criminal behavior. That's a felony under federal law. The law is clear. And again, we're a nation of laws. Let's objectively enforce the law, which is what ICE is doing here. ICE is just enforcing the removal order. They're not targeting courtrooms. I mean, that's where these individuals are coming to. They're not there, you know, grabbing people as you're walking into the courtroom for no reason at all. That's a federal law. ICE agents were very clear, and even with the ACLU that was there, it was a targeted operation, not a sweep. It was about, the bottom line, removing people with deportation orders, those that have criminal records, which we've been very focused on making sure that happens, or those that have re-entered the country illegally after having been deported. Remember, Chesterfield's not a sanctuary county. They are there making sure that they're enforcing the law. And this is a standard removal case. It's not some chaotic raid. You know, you hear some people say, oh, it's a chaotic raid, these kinds of things. It was not. It's a very standard case of, again, removing people that have deportation orders. That's what ICE does. And listen, we have to follow the law, and we have to work with federal agencies when necessary to make sure we keep our neighborhood safe. One of the most basic obligations of government, Jeff, is to keep our neighborhood safe, keep our Commonwealth safe, and keep our nation safe. That's the most basic of our responsibilities. And this shouldn't be about politics. It's about upholding our laws, protecting the public, making sure the public is safe, make sure we do that in a calm and professional way. That's what law enforcement does. You look at Chesterfield County law enforcement. They do a tremendous job. They work hand in hand with ICE to make sure that, again, the law is enforced. That's what this is. And if you look at it exactly for what it is, look at what the ICE agents did. This is purely and simply a case of enforcing federal law, removing people that have deportation orders. These are legal orders. It's not like they come up and say, we're going to grab you and we'll figure out what to do later. And those who have criminal records, I mean, that's clearly in the law of what law enforcement does. And then those who have re-entered after being deported, that's a felony. This is just about enforcing the law. It was a very targeted operation, and that's what it is. And I just want people to understand, that's what this was. It wasn't anything else. It was purely enforcing our laws.
So, as Congressman Rob Whitman joins us, represents the 1st District here in Virginia, what's your sense on the politicization of this, making this about politics, Rob? Because you're right. This is about as cut and dry as it gets. ICE is out in courthouses every day of the year that there's court in session. They're continually going and apprehending people who have been ordered removed. It's not some sort of a fishing expedition. It's even Channel 8, as you know, provided images from Los Angeles. Because if you had actually shared the images from Chesterfield County, people would have been bored silly. There was no action. There was nothing in the streets. There was none of this stuff. So does it just pain you as a public servant to hear folks on the left turn it into a political potato?
It does. I mean, this is standard practice. As the Sheriff Leonard, this is standard practice to make sure that you're enforcing the law. One of the places to enforce the law is there at the courthouse, where you have transactions of legal proceedings. That is a place where law enforcement, all branches of law enforcement, state, local, and federal, go to enforce the law. Think about it, Jeff. If you look back, the Biden administration refused to enforce the laws passed by Congress. They put a moratorium on deportations. They didn't do any of this. They halted the construction of the border wall. Immigration laws just were not enforced there. The immigration laws now are being enforced. It shouldn't be, first of all, a surprise to people. It shouldn't be objectionable that we are a nation of laws and we enforce laws. I don't want anybody to think that somehow we selectively enforce laws. This is about enforcing the laws. These are things that have to be done. Catch and release has been eliminated, so we're not taking people to the border and then releasing them. The Border Patrol agents are enforcing the law. Yeah. And listen, this last campaign was about enforcing immigration laws, and that's exactly what's being done. 77 million people spoke very clearly and said, we want the immigration laws enforced. And when the president took office, one of his first actions, he declared a national emergency at the southern border. And guess what? We went from tens of thousands of illegal entries a day now down to a handful. It's unbelievable, the big change there. And listen, we have to continue to take a comprehensive approach. It's securing the border. It's enforcing the laws here in the United States. It's making sure we have a thoughtful and orderly way for immigration to take place. Jeff, it's also the only fair thing to do for those folks that are coming into the country legally. I hear from those folks all the time that said, we want you to enforce the laws. We feel it's unfair for those folks that have broken the law to come here and not be held accountable. Some of the loudest vocal advocates for enforcing immigration laws are those that did it illegally. And folks across our neighborhoods, across our commonwealth say, yes, we want you to enforce the law. I mean, that's what this is about. It shouldn't be political. This is straightforward enforcing the laws as they are written. And listen, if other members of Congress disagree with the laws, then put a bill in to change the laws. Say, listen, we don't think that we ought to enforce deportation orders. We don't think that those people that are here illegally should be deported. I mean, put that forward. If you don't believe that enforcing the law under the current law is what needs to happen, then put a bill in to say, we're going to change the law.
Does this represent the desperation of some folks on the left that they're not really, it seems to me, they're not really interested in having a discussion about it. They're interested in apparently scoring some cheap political points, but with their side. And as you say, ignoring the responsibilities of our federal law enforcement officials.
Well, Jeff, I can't speak to their motives, but to me, it's pretty simple. It should be bipartisan that we take a comprehensive approach to securing the border. Look at everything. Look at what we're doing. Southern border, northern border, coastlines. Let's look at what we're doing there. Enforce the rule of law. That's what people have elected us to do. Jeff, we raise our right hand and swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, which are all the laws that are promulgated under the Constitution. And I want to make sure we're doing that and ensuring that law enforcement has the resources necessary to keep us safe. We enable them, we empower them to enforce the law. We empower them to keep us safe. People expect that they enforce the law. That people expect that if somebody has been deported and has come back here again illegally, that we take legal action. If there's a deportation order to deport somebody, that we enforce the deportation orders. That's what people expect. So it should be a bipartisan expectation that we enforce the law. You know, listen, I think we all have to be focused to make sure the nation's current immigration laws are enforced and that our current immigration systems are functioning properly. That's what people expect. And I want to make sure that those things get done.
Tell me a little bit about the work that you are doing. And I remind everybody, Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us, talking about some of the political hay that's been made out of ICE officers and ERO folks being in place at Chesterfield County Courthouse and what have you, simply doing their job, enforcing the law, removing people who have been ordered removed. Is there more to be done? And the reason I ask that, Rob, is that earlier in the program, we had the president of the National Border Patrol Council that represents the Border Patrol agents who said, you know, the one big beautiful bill that became that one big beautiful law has done more for us in the last couple of weeks than the Biden administration did in 4 years. They're thrilled.
Yeah, Jeff, the budget reconciliation bill, which is, I think, going to be incredibly important for the well-being of families, to make sure the communities are safe, has dedicated a significant amount of additional resources to secure the border. Significant amount of resources for more immigration custom enforcement officers to do more things using technology to make sure we have sensors on the border, to do it in the most efficient way possible. Listen, people have listened and said, hey, listen, walls work in certain areas, but sensors work in other areas. Other ways to monitor the border work in other areas. We have to do more on the northern border. All of those things are part of that effort. And the budget reconciliation bill has dedicated the necessary resources to make sure that we get those things done. Again, people in the United States spoke loudly and said, we want our immigration system to be fixed. We want to make sure we're securing the border. We want to make sure we have a system that provides for the enforcement of laws, that we have enough law enforcement officers there to do those things. And they're seeing this, and it's making an impact. These additional resources are going to be even more supportive of our federal law enforcement agents in the incredible job that they do. You know, Jeff, I've had the opportunity to talk to a number of them, and listen, they are tremendously dedicated public servants. And remember, they put their lives on the line every day to enforce these laws. And we've seen in some instances where they've been mercilessly attacked and injured in these situations where they're enforcing the law. I want to make sure that where they're supporting them, giving them all the tools that they need to enforce the law, all the tools that they need to remain safe, so every evening they get to go home to their families. That's our obligation to them.
It absolutely is. Well, listen, you continue to do the right thing. You know, we appreciate what you're doing. As a former police officer myself, I have always, always appreciated your unwavering support for law enforcement, steadfast support for the men and women who go out there and do the job. And I am always grateful when you've got time for us, especially on this particular issue where it's just essential to have a view from that common sense chair where we're just hearing some of the facts straight ahead, right down the middle on enforcing the law. Rob Whitman, I thank you, my friend.
Jeff, thanks so much. You all have a great afternoon. Thanks again for the opportunity.
You bet. That is Congressman Rob Whitman. I know his phone was a little choppy. It's okay. Germ's going to make sure we clean it up as best as possible. But the congressman, I thought, was pretty straightforward. And it's in stark contrast to what we heard this morning when Jennifer McClellan was on Richmond's Morning News. She was talking strictly with emotion and politics and totally, completely ignoring the law. Rob Whitman's a decent guy, right? He's simply talking about the facts. Here are the facts. Here's the law. Here's what's being enforced. I want to remind you that Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard is going to be on at 6:30 tomorrow morning, Richmond's Morning News. And he'll be able to share with Rich some of the things that are happening, some of the things that are not happening, despite the images that were shown. You remember it was Channel 8 that showed these images from Los Angeles. That wasn't Chesterfield County. It wasn't the courthouse. So Carl Leonard, the sheriff of Chesterfield County, will be here tomorrow morning at 6:30, and I would urge you to check that out. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Piece of most of our childhoods died a couple of days ago. Hulk Hogan, 71 years of age. First of all, it was crazy to even think of Hulk being 71 years of age. I mean, that to me was just nutty. But it was just crushing. For me, anyway. And I know there's been a lot of discussion. Oh, my gosh, you know, he had one move. Remember? And a lot of people take this. It was always the leg drop. Well, it's his finisher. It's always been his finisher. It's one of the things, quite frankly. It messed up his back and his hip so much was that finisher. And for those who say, oh, he really never knew how to work, well, I would urge you, if you're interested, go take a look at some of the tapes that are still out there from Japan. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was the charisma. It was everything. He had the it factor to the extreme. Mike Dickinson joins us every Wednesday. We talk about a lot of stuff, to be sure. Mike, of course, is our citizen journalist, and he does a lot with those big issues. But Mike also happens to be somebody who knows pro wrestling. He knows sports entertainment. He appreciates it. And so this week, I thought we would just talk a little bit more about that as opposed to the political stuff. Mike, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Anytime for you, Jeff.
Tell me a little bit about Hulk Hogan and Mike Dickinson. What was your relationship through the years? Was Hulk the guy that sort of opened the world of wrestling up to you?
I think he was the guy that opened up the world of wrestling for so many of us. I remember just so much as a kid growing up. You knew when you were watching the Saturday morning wrestling shows, no matter how bad the bad guys were or how much the cheating was going on, when you heard the Real American Music hit and you saw Hogan come through the curtains, you know that things were going to be regulated, and you know that you knew that justice was going to be served. He was a hero to so many kids and so many people that grew up in the 80s and 90s. And for me, the thing I think that Hulk Hogan influenced about me so much is just, you know, the larger than life persona, the good over bad, the standing up for yourself. Yep. The promos. I mean, if you look at Hulk Hogan, without Hogan, we wouldn't have sports entertainment as we know it today.
You're absolutely right. Now, of course, for many, that's not a positive, right? There are plenty of Jim Cornette, like, we used to have pro wrestling, and now we have sports entertainment. But Hogan embodied it, and you and I both know Vince McMahon would not have been able to take that product national as he did without Hogan in that spot.
Without a doubt. And I know there's detractors out there, but what Vince was able to do through Hulk Hogan, as far as making a specific brand, building marketing around him, building a whole persona that captivated the audience both in the media and arenas. And if you were a kid in the 80s or 90s, or anybody in the 80s and 90s and went to any wrestling show, I mean, this is back in the days when the wrestlers worked, you know, 7 days a week and twice on Sundays.
Yep.
And they flew across the country. They would go out and they would just make circus. They didn't have it like they do today, where it's working 1 or 2 days a week and getting big salaries. I mean, even Hogan was probably the most well paid in his era, but he had to work a lot. I mean, you hear the stories about the amount of travel and the amount of pain those guys put themselves through to build what's there today. And it's the way it is in every sport and every culture entertainment. I mean, you look at President Trump,
and the way that he does some of that, he's done his events and his rallies, very much heavily influenced from Hulk Hogan and from the entertainment days of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I President Trump is the first real television president who fully understood the power of television. There have been some other folks before then, I get it, but he's the guy who just brought it all home to roost, and as you were talking about, drawing a lot from the world of pro wrestling. And the thing about Hulk Hogan, and let me remind everybody that Mike Dickinson is joining us, and this week I just want to have a chat with him as we talk about the passing of Hulk. Hulk Hogan took that entire genre, however we want to describe it, and he elevated it into pop culture in a way we had never seen. The closest, I would say, Mike, was the 1950s on the old Dumont television network when Gorgeous George was seen in households. But there wasn't anything after that, and there was such a bizarre thing back then. Hogan just made it so mainstream and so acceptable. He just changed the entire dynamic.
Exactly. And what you said earlier, too, Vince McMahon would never have been where he is today unless he had a star to build around. Right. And if you look now at what businesses do and sports teams do and sports entertainment does, you got to have that building block. You got to have that one star that you can put everywhere to build off of. And Hogan was Vince's star, and he was able to take really what WWE was doing, you know, small WWF at the time, small venues, you know, state fairs, and take it to where it is now, Netflix, football stadiums, arenas across the world.
It is just an amazing thing. Talk about as well, Mike, some of the merchandise, because, you know, that was another thing that really took off when they made Hogan, when Vince made Hogan the guy. It was that merchandising, and again, not just an old Xeroxed program in the front of an arena somewhere, but breakfast cereal and cartoons and every variety of clothing.
Hogan was everywhere. Yeah. T-shirts, you know, costumes, bandanas for your head, every toy figures. I mean, you talk about someone who opened up so many doors as far as marketing and branding opportunities. That was Hulk Hogan. And you look at it now, you know, you've got the guys of today, you know, the Roman Reigns and the CM Punks and everyone, and they have the same, they have it on, they have, you know, they have everything, but they would not have been or had those opportunities without the path that Hogan built. And Hogan built it by doing his thing with being larger than life and having that persona and having that presence that really drew people. And, you know, I feel so really, I'm not sad, but I feel a lot of the people that never experienced that, if you were in an arena in the 1990s and a great real American hit, I mean, it was an unreal feeling. And you've been there, Jeff. I know you've been there. I know that lots of people experienced that, the Richmond Coliseum, when Hogan would come out to regulate. You'd have somebody in the ring like, you know, Honky Tonk Man or Jake the Snake, and there would be some kind of cheating going on or something, and that real American music would hit, and Hogan would come out, and you knew as a kid that all of the tomfoolery was going to be put to an end because Hogan was there to save the day.
Exactly. Just a legendary, absolutely legendary. You wouldn't have had WrestleMania without Hulk Hogan. Right. You wouldn't have SummerSlam, and we've got SummerSlam this weekend, right? What are your thoughts on that?
It's going to be a really great program this week at SummerSlam. I can't wait to see what everyone thinks is going to happen, which is with Cody Rhodes turning into the bad guy and Cena getting his face turned again. But I don't know if you've watched the WWE docuseries that's out on Netflix now, with all the behind the scenes stuff, as Michael Hayes and Triple H have talked about on there, they like to take what you think is going to happen and totally pull a reverse on it. So don't know what'll happen with that.
The old switcheroo, huh? All right.
Yes.
Is this John Cena's last scheduled in-ring performance?
This is. They have advertised him for some other shows coming up this fall, but this is the end of his storyline. As far as we know it now, as far as we know what's going to happen, this is the end of it. But he is advertised for some other shows.
Wow. I listen, I think it's going to be fascinating. I think there are going to be people who have not watched or paid attention to it for a long time who are all of a sudden going to come out of the woodwork and pay attention to that. Now, you talk about a Cody Rhodes swerve, right? Cody Rhodes becoming a heel again. Is that almost like, well, again, we're talking about Hulk Hogan. Out of Hulk Hogan, when he goes to WCW, all of a sudden, Hollywood Hogan, man, he's a bad guy.
They and everybody said that, Hogan can never become a bad guy. It'll be the worst thing ever. He'll disappoint everybody. But what happened? The NWO became the top, really, I think, the top group of all time and one of the top factions and one of the top merchandise sellers. And they still sell NWO merchandise today.
Yeah.
All because of that. And Hogan had the courage to do that. And I mean, he put his whole brand, his whole persona on the line to go and be this, you know, from the all-American good guy to all of a sudden the trash-talking, cheating, bad guy that was everything that he was supposed to be against.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There were guys, look, Bob Backlund as an example. Bob Backlund, certainly early in his career, said absolutely positively not. My kids are in school. The last thing I want them to see is me saying something nasty or cheating or doing something wrong, which I think was one of the reasons that Vince said, you're not the long-term play here at this point. We're doing something different, and you have to be able to roll with the punches. But even Hogan fought back against the idea of a heel turn inside WWF. But when that opportunity came with WCW, here's a whole brand new arena, if you will, a brand new persona, brand new character. And God, he reveled in it, didn't he?
Oh, he ate it up. He loved it. And the fans loved it. It's one of the things, I mean, in sports entertainment or sports or just life in general, people love heroes, but they also love the bad guy. They love the guy that comes out there and can talk, can back it up, and is above and is not above doing whatever. People secretly love that guy. They always
do.
They always love the heel.
All right. I know you don't do predictions, and we've all heard the buzz, but go ahead. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Mike. So who turns, if anybody, at SummerSlam?
I think Cody is going to turn. I think this is going to be their best shot to do it, and this is going to be their best shot to make Cena. I don't think Cena is going to want to go out a bad guy. I think this is their chance. They're going to do it and put him up, make him a face again. I think they're going to turn Cody as a heel. I think Cody will have his shot at being a bad guy run. It's time. Let him do it now, and we can have it conclude at WrestleMania next year and see what happens with that. I'm also very interested to see what's going to happen in the CM Punk and Gunther storyline. I think Punk will win that, but we'll see what happens.
All right, and definitely Cena, the strap gets taken off of Cena, right? I mean, if this is his last appearance, that's it. It's got to go one way or the other.
Yep, Cody gets it back. Cena leaves the good guy. I think The Rock might show up. We haven't seen The Rock. We haven't seen The Rock in months now. We don't know what The Rock is doing. Is The Rock going to show up? I mean, there's lots of other stories about what could have happened, business falling out, someone got disrespected because a private plane didn't show up.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know. The Rock hasn't shown. We don't know what The Rock's take on all this is.
All right. Well, Mike, listen, man, it is always such great fun. And next Wednesday, we should reconvene, and I want to hear your analysis of what happens at SummerSlam this weekend. I always appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Mike Dickinson. And you could let me know, by the way, on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. What do you think? Mike Dickinson says, yes, number one, without fail, Cena is not leaving as the champ. All right, I agree with that. Is Cody Rhodes going to the dark side? Is he going to turn heel? Is The Rock going to be involved? Is John Cena, as he exits the world of sports entertainment, does he leave as a hero again as a babyface? I think he has to, because I think that's what he wants as his, dare I say it, legacy. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is going to remain somewhat toasty overnight. Overnight lows around 75. Tomorrow, kind of a repeat of today. But Friday, the daytime high, you ready for this? 75. Don't get used to it, but it's coming. It's coming. So make sure that, just think about it. That's all I'm asking you to do. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to get ready for it. Just think about it. A couple other things you should be thinking about. Tomorrow, 6:30 in the morning, a couple of my friends are getting together, and I'll be, I'll be eavesdropping on their conversation. Why? Why not? Rich Herrera, as you know, hosts Richmond's Morning News, doing a fine job. His show starts at 6 a.m. Who is up that early? Well, Carl Leonard, the sheriff of Chesterfield County. He's up really, really, really early. He'll be on with Rich tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning, and they're going to be talking about what is or is not happening at the Chesterfield County Courthouse in response to Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan. Tomorrow afternoon, my friend Rob Chadwick, who used to be the head of the FBI's tactical training program at Quantico, he's got a brand new book out about staying safe on your own. We'll talk about that. I am going to remind you, I need your votes. I would ask you, please, if you are not driving, please text the number 100-100 to the following phone number, 804-430-5505. Again, text the number 100 to this phone number, 804-430-5505. In addition to that, go online, go.richmond.com/the best. Click on the tab that says entertainment, then click on the tab that says best afternoon radio show. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.